This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. My guest today, Ann Sivanathan, is a lecturer and advocate for inclusive education. She's here today to talk about the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom, a project she started from her home in January last year. Ann, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Antik.
You've been working to promote inclusive education since 1990, and before that, you were trained in the UK in special education. What got you interested in this field initially?
It was my father who actually decided for me that I should be in this field. So I was not interested in this field at all because I didn't know what this field was all about till I actually pursued the course and I had a deeper understanding of it. And then I realized how important this is in life.
And what is the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom?
The Inclusive Outdoor Classroom is a community-based project where special needs children are learning alongside typically developing children. And why this thing came up was because a lot of parents that I speak to in my daily life or work, they don't have a platform for this. Because in most schools, inclusion means totally inclusive. That means if you have special needs, you are put in a classroom where they're all special needs children. And very, very slim chances of you being in the classroom of typically developing children. And also, this platform is to create awareness for people who don't know what special needs is all about, who don't believe that special needs children are capable of learning. And also, it's a great opportunity to actually see what we can learn from the special needs children and how sometimes we think we don't have special needs, but actually when you are in the same platform or in the same space with them, there's a lot of learning taking place there between two parties.
The totally inclusive model where all the students with special needs are placed in the same classroom, that is not ideal, I gather, from what you have said.
No, it's not ideal. Because why should anyone be discriminated? We have a right to be heard, to be seen, to participate. So why does one need to be discriminated? If I was special needs, I would not want to be in a classroom where I see just everyone just like me. I want to see a mixture of people. I want to be part of society.
In this project, you said you strive to give every child a full, developmentally appropriate, inclusive experience. Can you elaborate on what that means?
Well, what it means is that very often, if you are not exposed to special needs children, some of them may take a little longer time to actually do the task where some of us can actually do it quicker than them. If children who can do things fast are not given the chance to be exposed in a situation where some of their friends or some of their peers take a longer time to actually get there, very often they would start labeling that child as, you are slow. Why is it you can't do as fast as I can do? But little do they understand that this person perhaps cannot do that as fast as they can, but they can do other things quicker than them. So, it's good to expose children at a very young age so that when they actually grow up and when they become policymakers, they can have these things in their mind and we will not be facing discrimination at all. There will not be a talk for inclusive education because it will be part of a lifestyle.
That's the root cause of a lot of bullying that goes on as well, isn't it? Because of that difference or that perceived slowness. And I suppose teachers would have to be skilled in identifying that.
Teachers need to be trained. Yes, I do agree with you. Teachers need to be trained. But then sometimes it's up to the teachers. If you're not trained, we have Google there who can assist us, Imagine if you're a parent and you don't anticipate to have a special needs child. What do you do? Can you at that point of time say, you know what, I don't know what to do and I'm not going to do anything? No, of course not. You would go out there, you would go find resources, you would seek parent support groups and do something for the betterment of the child. So teacher training is very important, but if that's not part of your training, one really needs to go and find out what can you do to help the child. It all begins with you. And I don't think we can blame any system. It's about you.
So one thing parents can do is to bring their kids to the inclusive outdoor classroom. It is conducted twice a month on the second and fourth Saturdays from 9 to 10:30 a.m. What happens at a class?
We have different corners in our classroom. We've got art, music, sports, pretend play, storytelling. So basically, we've got volunteers who actually play a very important part in our program, because without them, we will not have a program. We will not have a classroom. And so whenever children come, they are free to go and choose which corner they want to be in. So our volunteers act as, you know, observers. So we, our program is child-led. You know, so we've got trained personnel there, and also people who have no exposure what special needs is all about, but they are willing to sacrifice their time to come and learn. And we feel that children learn best in an environment where it's safe and where it's also like a second home. So our place is safe. Children love our place. They don't want to leave when they come to our place. So that means our program is successful.
What are the kinds of activities, like those corners, that the children can choose from?
Storytelling, pretend play, puppets, puzzles. And we also have virtual learning using technology. That is something that's a big hit with, you know, children with on the autism spectrum. So, and we actually get them to engage themselves by, you know, telling us what did they see via that box and things like that.
Is something more oversubscribed than others? Do you see a trend of the kids gravitating towards one thing more than the other?
Not really. It all depends on the mood, and it all depends what they feel like on that day.
So you said that you haven't seen a place like this, the outdoor classroom, despite working on the front lines for many years in this field. Why do you think no such place have existed?
I personally feel that people think they're not trained, and they seem to have this block about special needs children. It's like they cannot do as good as the others. You know, it's they go by the checklist, but they don't see beyond that.
The educator. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. You know, lack of awareness that, you know, every child can learn. It's just that they, you know, we all do things differently. There is no one particular way to do anything.
So what got you to take the plunge?
Well, a lot of people I speak to, whenever I tell them this is what I do, and they have no understanding about what inclusive education is all about, especially young people, young adults, people in university, and, you know. And so whenever I speak to my daughter's friends, and they are like, what is this thing all about? And so there was this passion and this... you know, that I really got to do something, because I went to Cambodia and I saw a school in a very poor village, and the kids were actually learning there because they just had no choice, but they had to make something out of, you know, whatever they had. So I decided to, you know, use my front porch. I have some space there. I had, you know, furnitures and you know, materials where I can start a classroom. So I got volunteers, and my children volunteer there, and they got their friends to actually come. And when their friends came and when they saw this, it made them realize what they have been missing out in life for such a long time, because they are, you know, 19, 20-year-olds who do not know what special needs is all about. And they just said that, you know, whenever they see someone behaving differently, a label is quickly attached to that person. And they felt really bad because of the lack of awareness. So through this platform, a lot of awareness has been created, and our volunteers have been back, actually. You know, I don't have to remind them. So for me, that is success, because through social media, they you know, talking about it, and through that, a lot of young people have approached me because they want to volunteer, and it's not a one-time volunteering session with them. You know, they keep on coming back, so they are very empathetic towards this, and that's what I think is really lacking, because people offer sympathy, but when it comes to being you know, active participants, we don't see a lot of them. Why we don't see a lot of them? Because I think there's just no opportunity. There is no As far as I'm concerned, I've never seen a program that's a lot of times people go and volunteer themselves at homes and things like that, but there's no sustainability to that. So for you to actually know what inclusive education is all about, you have to be part of a program. And also teachers in, you know, teacher training colleges, they study special needs, they study inclusive education, they don't know what it's all about. There is no space for them to go and experience this thing. So when they come out after graduating, how do they know what to do? Because it's not from the book. Every child is different. So you've got to really observe the child. You've got to understand the child. Speak to parents. It's a partnership. You cannot do this alone. So that's why I realized the burden for the parents. You know, they are seeking. They are seeking for their children, for their child, to be in an inclusive environment.
Just to stay on this lack of awareness issue. So some of the critics of full inclusion might include parents who believe such a model would harm the development of their typically developing students. Is this concern unfounded? Is the science fully settled that the inclusive model is superior?
It's all about training. It's all about training. What happens in your home if you have a special needs child and the child has siblings? So does that mean the behavior pattern is going to affect everybody? Yes and no. It's what you do if it does affect a person. So it boils down again to an environment where you have typically developing children learning alongside special needs children. It's all about the teacher, how she engages her students to explain to them why a certain behavior is being exhibited by a certain child. It's all about talking, explaining, and the process may take maybe a good 3 months sometimes. But then again, look at the bigger picture. You know, you would be seeing greater results where, you know, children will be more, you know, tolerant, empathetic, patient, and understanding. And labels will not be attached.
I'm speaking today to Anne Sivanadan. She is an inclusion advocate. We're talking about the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom, a project she started last year. Up next, the task she has in getting this program to run on a sustainable basis. You're listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. If you've just joined us, my guest today is Anne Sivanadan, an inclusion advocate, and she is the founder of Inclusive Outdoor Classroom. So you've mentioned that this is a very child-led initiative and you rely a lot on volunteers as well to carry out the project. You also mentioned that you get a lot of requests to volunteer because a lot of people want to know more about this. What do you look for in a volunteer? What requirements or qualifications do they need?
Well, you need to have a passion. You need to believe that every child has a right and every child will do things differently.
But passion don't come at first and all at once. Like yourself, for example, you got your training in special education and you developed that passion later on. How do you separate those requirements and the skill sets that a volunteer like, might bring, for example?
Well, with social media, Facebook especially, it's really useful because they see what their friends post up there. And through that, they speak to their friends. And then if they feel that, okay, they are passionate about this cause, they would come. Sometimes we have people who have come and then they say, you know what, I cannot be dealing with a child, but can I be doing something else? You know, can I be, you know, taking photographs? Yes. That means I would still say you are still passionate about this cause, but maybe you're not ready to be beside any child yet. So it's an introduction ground.
You train students to become teachers for those with special needs. Are there a lot of enthusiasm among young adults to go down this path?
Yes and no. And why I say no is because very often they have no clue what special needs is all about, but they want to go and study it because it's a much needed profession these days because, you know, it's like looking at the, you know, statistics, children with autism are really on the rise. So it's all about dollars and cents sometimes with these young people because it's like, you know, if I were to be a therapist or a teacher with, you know, special education, am I going to earn a certain amount of, you know, money and things like that. I mean, yes, money is important to actually survive, but
it's also because they know someone who needs the help, and so they find it relatable. The awareness level is there to begin with.
Yes, yes, because a lot of awareness is being created now. Like, you know, we had this ice bucket challenge recently and it was going crazily on social media. And sometimes people were doing it not knowing what they were doing it for. But, you know, but a lot of people were actually posting it. And then last year, Malaysia did a lot of things about Autism Day with our first Malaysian autism movie as well, you know, Reda. So the awareness has been there and people have taken a bolder step to actually find out what is special needs all about? How can I be involved in it? And a lot of organizations are creating awareness about this.
How many students can you take in one class?
At my porch, I can only take in 25 students. But we have been blessed because I am for you Central, and we have been speaking to its director brand management group, Tan Shu Wei Wen, and you know, and his assistant Hema Lata. So they have given us a free space for two sessions already. And when we had our session there, we can take in like about 40 children because the space is really big and it's nice because it is disabled friendly. But the time has come now where we need to pay for the space. We need to pay for the space, and it boils down to, you know, dollars and cents, because our classroom is completely free. Parents don't have to pay anything at all. But we were quite fortunate as well because Vascari AG, they're a public limited company listed in the German Stock Exchange. Now, they have come up and they are going to offer, you know, sponsorship for us for that space for a year. And so we're really thankful for them. And we've also initiated a football team with our children, and they have sponsored our jerseys as well. So we need people to know how important this, you know, project is. We need people to actually come in and, you know, partner with us to see that this is a serious topic, because we are fighting for children's rights. And if you are just going to be, you know, talking and don't walk the talk, where are we going to head? Because, you know, 50 years ago, we've been talking about this same thing. And now 50 years later, we are still at the same topic. So, you know, I am so glad that I was bold to actually start this. And to get funders is not easy. You have to knock on doors all the time. And I'm not someone who's good at doing that, but I've learned to do it now, you know, because I know this is a really important cause. And I feel that awareness must be created, and how it can be, you know, created is to do it. You know, you really have to walk the talk. And our sponsors, they are not just contributors, they are going to get their children involved as volunteers as well. And that's a good start, I feel.
What kinds of result do you need to produce to justify the repeat sponsorship, so that sponsors don't go away after 1 year, for example?
Testimonies from our children, testimonies from our parents, because our program did not just start, you know, last year. I used to manage a preschool before where I embrace inclusive education, and students at our preschool at that time are now volunteers in our program. So it's a 13-year case study program where they have come back, and we've got two of them who are special needs. One has Down syndrome and the other boy has Asperger's syndrome. And they have become our voice now because, you know, parents looking at them, looking at their progression, and they have taken on leadership roles now. And then also we've got, you know, two other children in our program. One is, you know, doing her speech therapy and the other one is doing early childhood. So there is benefits in being in an inclusive environment, because we may not be able to see results immediately, but guess what? 10 years later, you see them being more aware of special needs and how they are learning from the special needs, people.
Do you always strive for a 50-50 ratio between the differently abled student and the typically developing students?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Is it hard to achieve?
Sometimes it's hard to achieve. You know, sometimes it is really hard to achieve because a lot of typically developing parents do not see why they should be sending their child to this program. Because they said, oh, you know why, it's all for, you know, special needs. But when they come and enroll themselves in our program, they see the difference. Because a mom recently told me that her daughter was getting uneasy with her friend in school because her friend was really slow. And this is a typically developing girl. But after coming to our program, mom said that the daughter told her friends she is a little bit slow, so we have to be patient. So instead of putting that label on the child, her daughter, who's only 5 years of age, understands exactly what's going on, that we are all different.
So I understand there is a waiting list for students to join this. What do you look for in a student?
I don't look for anything in a student. Anyone can join. It's just that my space was a constraint. That's why they have to be on a waiting list. And then also, you know, this year we've actually did a brainstorming session with our team, and we feel that if you want to be in our program, you have to be committed for 3 months at least for you to see results, because it's not an ad hoc program and it's not something just because it's free. It's a nonsensical program. You know, we really put our soul and our heart in this program, and our volunteers are young adults, and why should they be, inverted commas, wasting half a Saturday in our program if they don't believe in our program? So it's a lot of thought that actually goes into our program before we can even do it for the day.
So I can imagine it's a delicate balance having to wanting to reach out to as many students as possible and wanting to be committed to those who wants to stay because they enjoy the program and they see the benefits.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you have said from your work that you still see a lot of segregation of children with special needs in classrooms today. But our government has prioritize the inclusive model in the blueprint. Do you see any progress at all? I mean, you said earlier that we've been talking about this for a long time, but have we made any progress at all?
Some schools have embraced that, where, you know, some of the special needs children are allowed to be with their typically developing peers on some subjects. But a full inclusion model, I have not seen it personally yet. And the parents I work with are championing for this. So their option now is to homeschool their children or to put them in private schools. And that involves additional money because, you know, in most cases, if your child is in a private school, you are required to have a shadow aide. In private schools.
And the shadow aide would be a qualified, like a therapist or a professional.
Right, that's right. Someone who knows about, you know, special education. Mm. So for me personally, I feel that really defeats the purpose, because if you are in a classroom that embraces inclusive education, why does the child need a shadow aide? Why should the child be dependent on a shadow aide? I feel it will be a good investment if all teachers undergo a special needs training program where they will be able to embrace any child, because there is no one way of learning. You have to really understand a child to see what sort of a learner the child is. And from there, you can see progress.
For parents who are listening right now and they want to maybe enroll their kids, how can they get in touch with you?
You can go to our Facebook page, The Inclusive Outdoor Classroom, and you can send us a message and we would respond immediately.
And how do you intend to take this project forward?
I plan to get more people involved, more people from the corporate sector, more people from the government to actually come and view our program, because we have a ready-made model there already. We've got testimonies from parents, which are really very important because they believe in our program. We have testimonies from people who don't have children, but they've come and seen our model. And how do I want to go forward is that I'm going to be knocking doors. I'm really going to be knocking doors, and I'm going to, speaking to a lot of people, different organizations, speaking to parents who have typically developing kids to come and enroll their children in this program, because we need them, they need us. And, you know, I cannot be doing this alone. With the special needs alone, it's going to be a failure. So I need everyone there.
And hopefully you can replicate this in other states as well.
I plan to do that as well. I really plan to do that because some of our people on our waiting list are not from here actually. So they have expressed that, you know, could we duplicate this in, you know, different states? We can, but we need people who are committed. We need a space. We can go and train. That is not a problem at all. But we want it to be a sustainable thing because we have sustained this for a year and with the same volunteers, but they've just grown. So we believe that this is a good project.
And thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Anne Sivanathan, the founder of the Inclusive Outdoor Classroom. You can check them out on their Facebook. What's that Facebook address page again?
The Inclusive Outdoor Classroom.
The Inclusive Outdoor Classroom. You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.